ever-changing world, Off Hollywood Media presents a voice of truth and inspiration, resonating a vibration of love and understanding, illuminating new paths for new directions, as we, as one, strive for higher and higher levels of consciousness, always remembering life changes. And now, your host, our MC, our master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Ciao, everyone. This is indeed Filippo Voltaggio coming live from Dinky's Bluebell Diner in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. Thank you to our host, Bruce, who is letting us use this beautiful place so that we can connect with you all live to do the radio show, because I am traveling. I actually came out here on the East Coast because I was singing at a wonderful concert, actually. If I can say so myself, it's actually the Sergio Franchi Memorial Concert, and it's a beautiful thing with full orchestra, draws about 5,000 to 6,000 people on the Sergio Franchi estate, which is about 280 acres, and it's a wonderful thing, and I got to sing a lot of my favorite songs, and you know, it's interesting because during one of the songs, well, actually, I was singing this song. Everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody falls in love somehow. And right in the middle of the song, I decided to tell a story while the orchestra kept playing the melody. I had actually already arranged it with the conductor, and he put it into the music, and I'd never done that before with this particular song, and never told the story before. And the story I was telling is that I learned that particular song, it's a Dean Martin song, because I knew at an event where I was singing, a show that I was doing, that Dina Martin, Dean Martin's daughter, would be at the show. So just before I sang that song, I invited her onto the stage, and I put a stool out for her, and she sat down, and we looked at each other's eyes, or into each other's eyes, and I grabbed her hand and held it while I sang that song to her. And we had a moment. As a matter of fact, her jaw dropped. You can even see it on the video, which is pretty funny. Her jaw dropped while she said, "Wow," and her mouth stayed open like that, which I took as a very big compliment. But after that reaction, we had a moment. I thought I saw like tears welling up in her eyes, and she diverted her gaze from me, and so did I. And so I looked out into the audience. At this point, she wasn't looking at me, so it didn't matter if I was looking at her. So I looked out in the audience while she was looking down. And I have a story as to what I think she might have been thinking, or at least I know what I was thinking. And I wonder if she was thinking the same thing. And though I've met her many times afterwards, I never asked her what her story was about that moment. Because I liked mine so much, I wanted to hold on to my story. And my story was that she remembers her father singing this song, and she remembers her father holding her hand. And here, years later, a man is singing this song to her while holding her hand. And I felt like a lot of triggers went off, and she felt something. And I don't know of any men that have held her hand and sung that song to her. As a matter of fact, she did tell me that no one had sung that to her other than her father. So I'm probably right about my story. But regardless, it made a really great story on stage. And as soon as I was done with the story, the orchestra met me exactly where I was. And then we went on with the rest of the song. It was quite a beautiful thing, I have to say. But it's interesting that I'm bringing it up now, and it just happened now, actually, on Saturday, because I wanted to talk about stories today, ironically, and I didn't know I was going to talk about this until this happened on Saturday. We literally decided to put this into the orchestrations just the night before the show. So, stories. Let's see. Just like I wanted to hold on to my story, and at that moment I didn't want to know what Dina Martin's story was because mine was so special to me. And I'm sure hers was special to her because it was a moving moment. It wasn't a sad moment for her. But talking about stories, I was driving down the road with a friend of mine in the car a couple weeks ago, actually. And there was this really cute dog in the window, really cute doggy in the window. And the doggy was looking right at me, and he was just cute. And just as I told my friend, look at that dog, the dog jumped off the windowsill of the car and ran to the other side. So I honked my horn in the hopes that the dog would wonder who's honking and why and would jump down off the other windowsill on the other side of the car and come over back to the window while I was stopped at the stoplight, so that I could see the car, and so my friend, the dog, and so that my friend could see the dog. And as soon as I honked, and as soon as I noticed that the dog did not notice or budge or care, I started to chuckle to myself. And I told my friend, I said to her, I feel like I could hear a ripple effect of what I just created in this moment of honking my car. The person in front of me is probably saying, what the beep, you know, can't he see there's a red light? What's he honking about? The person behind me probably wasn't paying attention to the light and probably thought, oh, we missed the light because somebody in front or whatever. What's wrong with that lady or whoever's up there? The person beside me in the car was probably saying, what is he trying to do? What's he doing? Some lady walking down the street was probably thinking male chauvinist honking at me because she's got her story about men that honk at her. And some man was about to do something that, you know, he didn't want anybody to see. And he said, oh, they saw me do it. Or somebody else walking down saying, oh, he's honking at me because he's a whatever. We have our stories, and we interpret these moments that we have every moment of the day the way we interpret them based on our history. And the truth of the matter is we know whether those stories happened in that moment, that day, around me. We know that a lot of stories did happen. People don't usually just hear a honk and don't say something. But even still, even if one story was said or 15 were thought that in that moment, they were all wrong. All of them. I can almost guarantee that not one person thought that guy honked to get the dog's attention. Because probably nobody else even saw the dog. And maybe even the driver. As a matter of fact, how many times have you honked at somebody, this has actually happened, who has a sign behind their car that says, honk if you love flowers, or honk if you love Jesus. And you honk, and they flip you off. Because they have a story. They've forgotten about their frickin' bumper sticker. So, all these stories are wrong. And I wonder, how many times do I have a story? As a matter of fact, come to think of it, at this concert, I was here 2 years ago, and I stayed with this beautiful family with a beautiful house who hosted me to do this same concert 2 years ago. And I tried to get a hold of them afterwards and stay friends. But obviously, they didn't want to. And I was trying to wonder, was I not a good guest? Was I boring, or was I, you know, did they not enjoy my stay? I thought we had a great time together, and I couldn't wait to see them again. But obviously, they didn't think so. And that was my story, that I held on for 2 years. Frankly, I'd forgotten about it. But when I came back to visit, and I was scheduled to stay someplace else, I ended up meeting one member of this family who walked in the door and said, "Filippo," with arms open wide, "are you staying with us? The children can't wait to see you. They heard you were coming. You know, we tried to get a hold of you, and then we just, you know, kept missing each other, and I think we actually have the wrong number, but we hope you stay with us, and this time we have to stay in touch." And all along, I carried around the wrong story. So it's interesting about stories, and it's interesting that I think our guest has something to say about all of this. But I just wanted to bring attention to the fact that sometimes the stories we have in our head are just plain wrong. And it would be bad enough if they didn't serve us, but they're actually hurting us. And just like my story of the people who I thought didn't want to be friends after I was a guest in their home. On the contrary. And just like all the stories that were created around my honking at the doggy in the window. So with that, I want to remind everybody that you're listening to Filippo Voltaggio on Life Changes with Filippo, this time coming live from Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. And you can hear our show every week, usually live from Los Angeles, at www.lifechanges.ws. Of course, you can learn more about us there and connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter and on YouTube, et cetera, et cetera. So our guest today is Chaney Weiner. Now, Chaney is going to be talking to us about overcoming any fear, doubt, and worry and transforming our lives in any area within 7 hours. So I like the idea of being able to transform our lives in any hour, in any area. 7 hours makes it that much even better. Chaney is an inspirational and transformational speaker and founder of the Wealth Mastery Success Program. His knowledge and experience consists of 20 years of work and study from various disciplines, including fitness, psychology, communication, physiology, and neuroscience, and how to apply these disciplines into everyday life in order to live an inspired and magnificent life. Chaney is also a facilitator of the DeMartini Method, which was developed by Dr. John DeMartini. He is also a talk show host on Blog Talk Radio. The show is called Beyond the Law of Attraction, and he is an author. So please, we welcome to the stage together, Chaney Weiner.
Oh, I really appreciate it, and I thank you for all that you are doing as well.
Oh, thank you for saying that. Well, we're happy to have you, and, you know, it's interesting. I know that we brought you on maybe about midway through my monologue, but I'm sure you heard the part about our stories. I wonder how that plays into some of what you wanted to talk about today.
Yeah, first thing I wanted to say is I really enjoyed listening to those stories, and I probably could have sat back here and listened for the next 45 minutes because I really liked what you were saying, especially about the dog. In fact, if you want to get the dog's attention, if you just would have held some food out the window, you probably would have got him. Or something along that line.
I like but that. I'll remember that. Thank you.
I really like what you were saying about the stories. In fact, I was taking some notes here. I usually don't do this when I do interviews. Every now and then I may take notes here and there, but usually I don't. And I was just writing down a few things, especially about stories, because like you said, it's going to tie into what I'm going to speak about and what we're going to be talking about. And really the first thing that came to mind is that our stories are based on our perceptions, meaning that how we see the world, how we act upon the world. So just for example, you can have a particular event. It could be anything. In fact, let's use the example that you were speaking about with the family. Now, there could have been five other people there who would have seen that situation completely different. And it's their story based on their perceptions. And, you know, it's really interesting, but I had a friend who I grew up with in New Jersey. I've always remembered this comment that he said. He said, "Hey, it's your story. You could tell it however you want." So it's just, again, and, you know, the another interesting thing is that if you really start looking at this, it's a person's story is neither right nor wrong. It's just it's their perception that's based on their value system is really what it comes down to. Now, if you may see something differently or you may agree or disagree with somebody, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what it is, so to speak. Mm-hmm. It's one person will see it one way and you'll see it another. So when you were talking about stories, these were some of the things that were going through my mind, and I just wrote down some of it.
I'm glad. And you know, Chaney, so much of our stories are based on fears. So, for example, was I not a good guest? Did I do something wrong? Or the person in front of me saying, it's a red light. In other words, I didn't do something wrong, right? Because it's a fear base. So when we're stuck on our stories, people are usually stuck and living in fear. And I know that you have lots to say about that.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to, and I'm going to refer to this word a lot, perceptions, more specifically, a lopsided perception. And really what I mean by that is, let's go back to just seeing a particular situation. Somebody can see a situation, perceive it one way. Somebody else could see it another way. So if someone looks at that particular situation and says, oh, my God, that was awful, that was terrible, they see more negatives or more drawbacks than benefits or positives. And the person who may see it completely opposite, obviously, we'll see more positives or more benefits than drawbacks. So when someone sees, let's take fear. So if someone is in a situation or they fear something, they have this imbalanced or lopsided perception that they're seeing more negatives than positives. They're seeing more pain than pleasure. And they're seeing more of one side than the other, and that generates the fear. Obviously, something at some point in time took place where there was an association. I'm not going to get into the whole psychological aspect of it, but something at some point there was, like I said, there was an association and it perceived it one way, and some other situation could have came up, triggered that, and all of a sudden they see it as being bad or they have some type of fear on it. And basically their illusions is what it really comes down to, because let me give an example. Me, honestly, I don't like going on roller coasters or those types of rides. For some reason, I don't know why, something subconscious at some point, I might have seen it on TV or I don't know. I just have this thing that, if I go on there, something may happen. Probably more along the lines of I get nauseous, but even that has something to do with it as well, whereas someone like my sister or her husband or other people I know, they'll go on these rides. If the thing is going 80 miles an hour, upside down, sideways, it doesn't bother them. Me, no, it bothers me. But yet I can go on an airplane. I used to take flying lessons, and that didn't bother me.
Hmm.
So some type of perception with me, I was seeing something in there that was giving me that fear that I don't want to go on the ride. I saw more negatives than positives, so I withdrew and I didn't do it. I had that fear, and I don't go on rides.
Now in this case, not going on a ride isn't really that big a deal. I'm sure you could live your life without ever going on another ride, and maybe you'll miss out on maybe a little fun or terror. It doesn't really matter. It's not going to change your life that dramatically. However, most of our fears, however, keep us from doing things that are really important, getting new jobs or getting into relationships or getting into, you know what I mean? And so how do we get out of that fear-based pattern?
That's a great question, and I want to talk about or bring up a story of someone who I was actually working with in my Wealth Mastery Success program. She had her fear was financial instability, that she wasn't going to have money, that there was no financial security. And along with that, she had a lot of guilt because she had, and this is another part of it as well, but she had a lot of guilt. Well, number one, because she had, in her perception, bad credit. She blew her money. She, you know, those types of things. But she also had this guilt towards her family, her son, and her son and her husband for her situation. So she had the whole fear and guilt thing going on. But with her, the fear was, oh my God, where, you know, how am I going to be financially stable? I might not be financially stable. I'm letting down my son. I'm letting down my husband. All of that type of stuff. So, the first thing I asked her, and this is something everybody can take down here, I asked her, I said, okay, I said, well, how is your perception of yourself being financially unstable? How is that benefiting you? And at first she said, well, it's not benefiting me. And then I explained to her, well, as long as you see more drawbacks to it than benefits, you're going to have that fear. So the whole idea, and again, I explained to her that being able to balance out the benefits or the drawbacks with the benefits brings that perception into balance, and you, in essence, dissolve the fear. And at first, until I explained it to her, she didn't see it, and then she started to see it, and then she started to come up with reasons, and she came up with a whole bunch of reasons or a whole bunch of benefits. Now, in her particular case, she also had a guilt, like I said before, a guilt issue going on, more specifically towards her husband, towards her son, like I mentioned. So I asked her, I said, well, how is your perception, because it is her perception that she was financially unstable, I said, how is that benefiting your son? How is it benefiting your husband? And by this point in time, she was kind of getting the idea of what I was doing with her. It took her 5 hours to break through that block. Then she said to me, well, now I'll go on to the next block. And, of course, see, she was able to see it as I started walking her down the path, but many people don't see it at first, and then they think, that, oh, well, I'm just going to overcome this fear, and the fears are going to go away. But if you notice what I said, or what she said to me is, well, now I'm going to go on to the next one. So she was aware and knew that, yeah, she might have dissolved or – well, I'll say dissolve that particular fear, but there's other ones as well, because no one's going to get rid of fear or get rid of the doubt or get rid of the worry completely, but they're going to have it on different levels. Bill Gates has fears, but he has them on different levels than maybe what you or I would have. Let's say the CEO of a big company is going to have fear and doubt and worry on a different level than, let's say, someone who's working in his company. So I want everybody to understand that there's nothing wrong with having them, having a fear, a doubt, a worry. It's all in how you handle the situations. And these questions that I had her ask, and I had to ask a couple of others, is a great tool to use to help you handle these situations as they come up. And then you just, as I like to say, you move to that next level.
I like that, actually. And there's so much we can talk about that. But you just said something about how to handle a situation, and it just triggered something. You talk about letting off steam, and I have so many friends who are big advocates of, I need to let off steam. It's good for me to let off steam, and they often accuse me of not being in touch with my feelings because I don't let off steam, quote unquote, very often. And I used to do it a lot. So the fact that I don't do it anymore to me is not being complacent. To me, I think I have found a better way, but I don't know how to explain it. And then when I saw it in your writings, I thought, oh, that's, I'm going to ask him. Talk to me about letting off steam. Is it a good idea or not?
To answer your question directly, no, but I want to explain something that goes along with this because you just brought it up and I'm glad you did. There's a spectrum, and I call it I'll call it a spectrum. At one end, you have the suppressing, the repressing, the stuffing it, not letting it out. You have that end, and at the other end, you have the venting and the blowing off steam. So you have two ends, and then in the middle, you have poise, a poised mind. And yes, I totally and completely agree, and people say, you've heard it, we've all heard it, you don't want to suppress your feelings, you don't want to hide them, you don't want to stuff them, or as I like to say, sweep them under the rug. So what most people will say is, well, you don't want to do that, which is correct, well then go and blow off steam and get it off your chest. Well, that's the other end of it. And no matter how you look at it, in either case, whether you're sweeping it under or whether you're blowing off steam, you're still coming from that imbalanced perception. You're seeing more negatives in this case than positives. I'm going to get a little technical here, just slightly, and you're putting a charge, an emotional charge, out into the universe. Some people call it energy. So you're putting that energy out into the universe, and it's going out there in this emotional, lopsided, or let's say emotionally charged way. And a good way to look at this, and I'm going to tie it back into what you're saying, if you take a rock, I love to use this example, if you take a rock and throw a little pebble in the water, you get ripples. Little ripples will go out in the water. If you throw a big boulder in the water, you're going to get bigger ripples. If a big ocean liner goes by, you're going to have ripples that are going to keep going out and out and out and out. Well, same thing happens with your, let's say, the energy you put out if you're really emotionally charged. Bigger the charge, the more you're going to put those ripples out there, if you will, in the form of energy. Now, people will say, well, I can see the ripples, but, you know, what you're saying, just, you know, I don't buy that. Well, another thing I like to tell people is there's universal laws and there's laws of physics. If we step off of a 30-foot building on planet Earth, you're going to drop to the ground. Nobody questions that because we can see it. There's no lag time. It happens immediately. But when you're venting, you're blowing off steam. And same thing if you, you know, sweep it under the rug, but let's just talk venting, blowing off steam. You're putting that out there, and you don't see it. And it's these, as I like to call them, these unseen forces that are going out there. And many people are not aware of this. And they say, well, it's okay to vent and blow off steam and get it off your chest. To me, that's a coping strategy. And in a sense, it's almost equivalent to what someone would get when they get a drug high. They're blowing off steam. They're getting it off their chest. Well, if someone is getting a drug high, they're getting a high. Well, many people, it's really interesting because I'll ask people about this and they'll say, yeah, I needed to get it off my chest because I feel better. It's no different if someone is reaching for a drink or a drug, they want to feel better.
Mm.
But the long-term effects of those addictions, they have effects. Well, it's the same thing here, but the thing is we don't see this. And one other thing I want to mention in regards to this, I'm sure many people listening are familiar with Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich.
Uh-huh.
Well, he has a book that came out before us. It's called The Law of Success, and I highly, highly recommend everybody get it. It's a little over 1,000 pages. It's the newer version. They updated it, and they added in commentary. It's over 1,000 pages, and he talks in there about these unseen forces and that they basically dictate everything tangible that shows up in our life. He talks about that, and he has an entire chapter on being poised, having self-control, and very much, I'm saying it in a different way, of what he talks about in that book. So if someone's in a situation and you feel compelled to want to really let it out, there's ways on how to handle those situations. One of them I mentioned before with the woman who had the financial instability. You want to ask when you get into those situations, if somebody is really pushing your buttons, you take the time and you train yourself to do this and say, okay, well, whatever this person's doing is pushing my button. Rather than blowing off steam, how is what they're doing benefiting me?
Mm-hmm.
Now, at first, you're probably going to say, well, it doesn't benefit me, and then you're going to go and blow off steam. But the whole idea here, what I'm getting at, is to handle situations in a poised manner with self-control. Because when you're able to do that, you make these mini quantum leaps and these quantum jumps that many people are not aware of because these are very abstract type of concepts, what I'm talking about. But they govern what shows up and what we really, in essence, attract into our life. And I know I went a little lengthy on this, but it's important to understand what's going on, and I want everybody listening to get as much out of this as they can.
I appreciate that, actually. And when we come back here in just a moment, there's something else important that I know that you can elaborate on, and that's the difference between self-esteem and self-worth. So I want to remind everybody that we're talking to Chaney Weiner. And actually, his website is WealthMasterySuccessProgram.com. Actually, one of his websites is WealthMasterySuccessProgram.com. Again, he is a talk radio host himself. The show is called Beyond the Law of Attraction, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. You're listening to Filippo Voltaggio on Life Changes with Filippo at lifechanges.ws. And you can learn more about us at our website. And you can also find us on all over the web, actually, YouTube and Twitter and Facebook, including our fan page, Life Changes with Filippo, on Facebook. Now, we're actually working on creating our own social network for people like all of you and some of your friends who don't know it yet that are wanting and needing this conversation. And so we will be all of like mind, all directed towards making it a better place for all of us individually, collectively, and for the planet. And we'll be setting up that social network. We'll be telling you the name of it very shortly. You'll be able to, as far as we know, have as many friends as you want. Not like, unfortunately, now, Chaney and I can't be Facebook friends. Now, explain that, because I already have 5,000 friends. Evidently, I can't have 5,001, so, and Chaney can't be my friend. So we weren't able to connect on Facebook, but we're connecting here at Life Changes with Filippo right now. So back to Chaney Weiner on our show, and the question, what is the difference between self-esteem and self-worth, and why is that so important?
It's a great question, and I'm glad you're asking it, because many people do confuse the two, because they really, they do get confused rather easily. And really the difference is self-esteem are the accolades that you get from others, the compliments, you look great today, you look beautiful today. And if someone's relying on self-esteem and they're getting those compliments, they'll have a tendency, more often than not, to be really up, really in a great mood. But yet if that same person were to cut them down and say, you look horrible, you did a lousy job, you're no good, immediately they would feel deflated. So you can look at that example. That's how you can tell if you're coming from self-esteem. Now, self-worth comes from within, whereas self-esteem comes off from the outside. It's external. Self-worth is internal. And the biggest distinction of all is, let me say it like this. Your self-esteem can be given to you or taken away from you from others, but your self-worth can only be given to you or taken away from you by you.
Nice.
That's the big difference. And one thing that I really love to have people do, in fact, this is a little exercise that I highly recommend everybody making this a daily habit of, ask yourself the question, what is it about who I am that brings value to the world? I'll say that again. What is it about who I am that brings value to the world? Now, you can get a lot more creative. You can say, well, what is it about who I am that brings value to my relationship, to my family, to my friends, to my career, to whatever it is that's most important to you, to my finances? It could be anything. And what I encourage people to do is to ask those questions, however it applies to you. I use 6 of them. I do this every day, and I write 1 answer for each. So I'm writing 6 different answers at least per day. And here's the key. What is it about who I am? It's not about what somebody else says or does. It's about what is it about me that brings value to these different areas of my life. And when you get in the habit of doing this, it only takes maybe 30 seconds to write an answer down. At first, it may be a little more time-consuming, but once you get in the habit of doing it, you start to develop that energy that, hey, I am worth it. Hey, I do have value to others and to other people. Because, see, like I said before, it's what is it about you? Because if somebody says something to you and you get upset about it, that means, again, we're back to the self-esteem and back to what we were talking about earlier about getting emotionally charged. But when you ask these types of questions and you see that you have value, you have worth, you can contribute to others, you start to raise your – I'll say it like this. You start to raise your energy and you start to realize, hey, I do have value. And it's really interesting because there's a woman in my Wealth Mastery Success Program. When I had to go through this with her about 2 or 3 times. So I asked her, I said, well, write out these questions. What is it about who I am? In her case, is that what is it about who I am that brings value to my career, to my family, and to the world? And she says, and she actually wrote me back an email and said, I can't find one reason. And then I went into more of a description with her, because it's really interesting. Many people have a real issue with the self-worth, especially when I have them ask this question at first, and she had a really tough time with it. And then all of a sudden, she shot me back an email, and she had 123 reasons in different areas of her life. It was about this is how she wrote it. It was about who I am that brings value to my family, to my career, to the world. And she had one, I think it was those three, I think it was her children. I think she had her children in there too. And she had about 35 answers per. So it's a matter of digging, looking for it, and taking the time to invest in yourself to find out, hey, I do have value. I do contribute. I do have something of worthy to offer others. And once you are able to tap into that and find that by asking these types of questions, let's go back to what you were saying earlier, you start to dissolve some of those stories.
I like that. And in your answer there, you reminded me about something that we talked about earlier in the show that I think is important to mention again. You know, because people could say, what could possibly be good about such and such in my life, something that they perceive as negative, and could very well be as something that most people consider negative. But it's interesting when you go through this process. I've actually been through the John DeMartini process, some of which you're alluding to here, that I know that you're a practitioner of, and it's interesting getting on the other side of this. So, for example, for the audience, like for people that have weight that they want to get rid of, what could possibly be good about having had the weight all this time? And for some people, feeling unattractive or feeling unsexy or what have you. Well, maybe they weren't ready for a relationship, so they didn't want people bugging them saying, are you single or whatever? They didn't want to be out on the playing field. They didn't want to be hurt. Their heart wasn't ready or wasn't healed or what have you. Having the weight on kept people away because of how they were feeling about themselves, right? So that's a positive, for example. And then one can then look at it and say, okay, well, I'm ready to be in a relationship. I don't need the weight anymore, and can say, thank you for serving, but we don't need to play that way anymore, right?
That's a great point, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I actually come from a fitness background, and it's really interesting, and I'm going to really, in a sense, confess, until I really started studying, I wouldn't even say studying, but, well, yeah, you call it studying and really learning how to do what I'm doing now, I never really looked at it that way, but there was always something in the back of my mind that, people are having issues, and we'll just use the weight issue, people are having issues with that, and they can't seem to get it off. There's something else there. Well, what is it? Well, it's pretty much what you said. It's a defense mechanism, and in some, and in many cases, people actually have a hidden agenda. I mean, especially with, like, diseases. I don't really want to get too much into the disease part, because that kind of gets people a little bit, but many times people, in fact, I'll just give really a quick example about that. There's some people who you'll come across who always seem to be sick, they're not feeling well, and I don't mean someone who's just casually, they get sick every now and then, but I'm talking about the ones who are chronically. There's always something going on with them. And if you really start probing and looking, they actually have some type of a hidden agenda. And I know this is something that a lot of people don't want to hear, but it's really about, at least when I work with people, to me, it's about helping and serving someone else. And if that entails somebody getting really emotionally charged, what that's telling me, it's like they're going through an emotional withdrawal, if you will. In fact, funny, because in my Health Mastery Success Program, I have something in there, you know, DWI, DUI, we're all familiar with that. Well, I call it LUI and LWI, living under the influence or living while intoxicated. And what I'm referring to is your emotions. People are let's say living under the influence of their emotions. They're addicted to that. And when someone has a breakthrough and they really break through the stuff that's really been holding them back, something's going to come out. And it's usually, I mean, it's going to be different for every person. Some people may cry. Some people may get, I don't want to say violent, but they'll get physical. Some people will get nasty. But once they dissolve that, and it's not blowing off steam, it's really more dissolving those emotions, it's pretty amazing what happens. And the same thing with weight. Except in, with weight, you'll usually see somebody will drop the weight because they won't have that, if I keep the weight on, I don't want to get hurt in another relationship, so I'm just going to keep the weight on and I'll be okay. Nobody will be attracted to me.
Interesting. And even there, there's a story, ironically, because there are many people who are attracted to other people who have a certain amount of weight on them, but it's how we, each individual, feel about ourselves, and that goes back to the self-esteem and self-worth as well, as to whether or not we look attractive to other people, because we control that in so many ways.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure the most basic example, we've heard it many times, let's say a model. You may have a woman who's a model, really good looking, 80-90% of people think she's, maybe even 100% of people think she's really good looking, but she may be the one person who will say, well, I don't look good enough, or I don't like looking like this. And without really going off too much on this, usually when people have that going on, there is some aspect of they're comparing themselves to someone else. They're comparing themselves to a fantasy of the way they feel they should be, instead of realizing their magnificence and the brilliance and the perfection that they already have.
Yep. And you know, Cheney, you mentioned a little bit earlier that you work with people. How do you work with people? How do people get a hold of you and work with you? Is it through groups, one-on-one? How is it?
Well, I have the online program, or actually, I wouldn't even consider it. It's online and phone. It's a coaching program, Wealth Mastery Success. It's a coaching program, and I also have the home study course. And right now, literally as we speak, I've divided the two up. So one's the home study course, one's the coaching program. Obviously, the home study course is more of a product. Well, it is a product. It's a course, a home study course. And the coaching program entails coaching calls, one-on-one calls, or group coaching calls, rather, one-on-one calls, email, and, of course, they get the program as well, the home study course. Another thing is just strictly one-on-one. I do those as well. But I like to have it more so geared towards the program because it gives people more, gives them lifetime tools that they can use. Not just some 12-week or 6-month program, but something that they can use for life. As I like to call it, a toolkit for life. And in fact, if you want to check that out, you can go to wealthmasterysuccessprogram.com and put your name and email in. You'll get a free mini course, an audio recording, and a PDF download.
Ah, wow. That's great, actually. That's at wealthmasterysuccessprogram.com. Thank you for making that available to our listeners. Cheney, this has been great, and we have just a couple more minutes here together. And I'd like to ask you one last question, if you can share. What would be the most important investment that someone can make in their own life?
I love that question. Most important investment someone can ever make in their life is in themselves, in their personal development. And it doesn't necessarily have to be spending $5,000 on something. It could be buying a book. It could be listening to this interview. It could be listening to my radio show. It could be listening to your radio show. But just take the time and invest in yourself. It could be time. It could be money to invest in you. And it can be, emotionally as well. But the most important investment is investing in yourself. And if someone tells you, well, you've got to care for this person first and that person first, how can you care for others if you can't or not able to care about yourself? So make that investment in who you are. And actually, I like to call it VIP. If you value yourself, people will value you. If you invest in yourself, people will invest in you, and if you pay yourself first, people will pay you. So take the time, invest in you, because you are the most important person in the world. And you can, yes, you can still care for others, but what it comes down to is you're the most important. Invest in you and your personal development and your brilliance and your magnificence.
Wow. Thank you. Well, that goes back to your self-esteem, self-worth explanation that you were giving. So I appreciate that. And for those who missed that and might have just been joining us, we're talking to Chaney Weiner, and you can go to our website at lifechanges.ws and hear this archive show in a couple days and listen to what Chaney had to say about that and about everything else, actually. So, Chaney, it's been a real pleasure having you on the show. I'm so glad that this happened the way it did.
I am grateful and thankful to be on here, and it'd be great if we can do another one right now.
You're absolutely right. I've often wondered, I've often thought that this show needs to be at least 10 hours long.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's the quality of what everybody gets out of it is what really counts. So if it's 15 minutes, if they get 15 minutes of something that can transform their life, then 15 minutes is great.
Well, We've had a little bit more than that, and it still doesn't feel like enough, but I know that I've gotten a lot out of this conversation, and I trust that our listeners have too, and I thank you for having been our guest tonight.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, good luck with your continued success, I should say. You're on 2 years now at Blog Talk Radio for your show Beyond the Law of Attraction. And for everybody, again, who's listening and is interested, Chaney Weiner is offering a program for free. You'll get the information on the website. This is it's for a limited time, but he hasn't set that time yet. So if you want, rush to WealthMasterySuccessProgram.com and learn about that offer and everything else that Chaney has to offer. Thank you, Chaney. Have a wonderful evening.
You too, Filippo. Thank you.
All right. Ciao, ciao. Actually, Chaney is out on the East Coast with us. Well, not with us, but he's on the East Coast as well, in the Carolinas. And so he is staying up till 11 o'clock with us, as I am with all of you. But we have Dorothy, who is in California at 7:50, the time will be, and going to share with us her, Dorothy, is it called How to Be the Change? I don't hear Dorothy.
Your world.
Oh, I'm sorry. Change yourself, change your world. Absolutely.
Right.
Okay.
Tonight, I want to talk about gratitude and how it can lead us to happiness. I've found that it is absolutely impossible for me to worry and to be grateful at the same time. So I've been choosing gratitude for a few years now. And believe me when I say it works. Try it, you will like it. I guarantee it. The first thing I do when someone wants to have a private session with me is to ask them to answer a few questions. What is interesting is that almost everyone answers question number two exactly the same. The question is this: what do you want most out of life? And the usual answer is happiness. Now, here's the really interesting part, because when I ask them what happiness would look like, they tell me they don't know. So here's my little secret. This is the whole point of my asking my clients to answer these questions, because the first step in getting the things you want out of life is to decide what those things are. If you truly don't know what will make you happy, then now is the time to figure it out. In the meantime, please remember this: happiness doesn't come as a result of getting something we don't have, but rather from recognizing and appreciating what we do have. Once I learned to be grateful for all of the good in my life, I found that more and more good came to me. We have a tendency to take a lot of the good that we have in our lives for granted. Many people are constantly looking for love and are often not grateful for the love that they have all around them. For example, I have two very dear friends who've been together together for 18 or more years now. I know they love each other, but it doesn't look like it. They have what I call a reactionship because they're always wanting each other to do or be something different than what they are being and doing. The wife doesn't want to get a job. She just wants to stay home with the grandbaby. And the husband loves her enough to be fine with that. And all he asks in return is to spend 5 or 6 weekends a year off digging for crystals and minerals. This is the way he relaxes. The wife thinks he should be home more to play with the grandbaby. And she's always unhappy with him because he wants his 5 or 6 weekends off digging in the dirt. Neither one of them are happy and might not ever be because the wife expresses zero gratitude for all that he gives to the marriage. Now, I think she has the perfect husband, a 100% faithful man who will work 10 jobs at a time if need be. And when I've been called in to mediate this situation because the husband feels unappreciated, and I ask the wife why she's not expressed her gratitude, she always says, "Of course I'm grateful. I'm still here, aren't I?" Feeling gratitude and not sharing it is like buying a present from someone and not giving it. Now, it takes more than just expressing gratitude to the ones we love for us to be happy. Our lives are filled with blessings that we consistently take for granted. All you need to do is look at the world news headlines to see how blessed we are. There are present 4.8 million homeless due to the mudslides in China. And Russia is experiencing the worst fires ever, and some villages are completely gone and will not be rebuilt. And just listen to these statistics. If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you are more blessed than the million who will not survive this week. If you've never experienced the danger of battle, the loneliness of imprisonment, the agony of torture, or the pangs of starvation, you are ahead of the 500 million people in the world. If you can attend a church meeting without fear of harassment, arrest, torture, or death, you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world. And if you have food in the refrigerator, clothes on your back, a roof overhead, and a place to sleep, you are richer than 75% of this world. If you can hold up your head with a smile on your face and are truly thankful, you're blessed because the majority can, but most do not. So please join me in co-creating from the place of gratitude and watch your little piece of the world change along with your attitude. However, a word of caution. You have to be truly consistent. For example, I have a friend who constantly expresses his gratitude several times a day for all of the good in his life. But at other times, during the day and night, he worries and worries and worries about money and other things. So it doesn't matter how much gratitude you express if you're going to cancel it out with worry. Believe me, worry will win every time. However, as I said at the beginning, the attitude of gratitude really works. And when you find your mind drifting into the land of worries, gently stop it and bring it back to the land of gratitude. And you will love the difference you co-create in your world. As Dennis Waitley said, happiness cannot be traveled to, owned, earned, worn, or consumed. Happiness is the spiritual experience of living every minute with love, grace, and gratitude. Until next week, please remember that you are the power in your world. You are the guru you have been waiting and looking for. You are the only one who can end your suffering, and you can only do this by beginning a love affair with you. So join me in choosing to become very conscious co-creators by making the most elegant choices possible. And let us never forget that we are powerful beyond measure, and that we are love, we are lovable, and we are loved.
Thank you, Dorothy, for the Change Yourself, Change the World segment. Did I get that right?
Good.
She's all right. I did. Okay, good. I don't have my notes with me, but I am grateful that I am still able to do the show without my notes. I am grateful for being able to do the show from Shrewsbury, Massachusetts, even though I'm not in Los Angeles. I am grateful to our guest, Chaney Weiner, for having been on with us tonight. And I'm grateful to all of you for listening and for all your comments and the stories that you share with us and the suggestions that you make. I'm sure that those who have made suggestions have seen some of the changes that we at Life Changes are experiencing. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what this name is about. It's several different meanings, of course, as is everything. But in this case, Life Changes with Filippo, I and Mark Lejeune, who mentions at the beginning calling me the master of change. Well, you know, I've been through a lot of change, and I'm really working on mastering this. And some people might say that I have, because things have changed and I take it in stride. But I'm still looking to learn how to even do better. And so that's what today was about. And we've fashioned a whole show around it so that we can all learn how to do better ourselves. Because as Dorothy says, if we change ourselves, we change our world. And ultimately, that's going to be good for all of us. So thank you all for listening and being part of the show. And remind you that you can keep the conversation going during the week. Actually, a lot of you I know are listening to our shows throughout the week in our archives at lifechanges.ws, and so many of you are connecting with us at Life Changes with Filippo on our fan pages on Facebook. I am Filippo Voltaggio, and it has been my pleasure being of service by hosting Life Changes with Filippo tonight. I, along with our segment hosts and producer, Dorothy Lee and Mark Lejeune, and our engineer, Seth Hendrick, thank you for joining us in being part of this show and being part of the change we all wish to see in the world. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to Life Changes. Join us here every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and visit us on the web at lifechangeswithfilippo.com. That's Filippo, F-I-L-I-P-P-O. And follow our community on Facebook at Life Changes with Filippo. Join us here next week as we consciously embrace and explore the only constant, Life Changes.